Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country. And there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, it's Monday, and you're already tuned into the best of podcasts, because this is Beyond the Darkness. Thank you guys for joining us and spending a new week with us here. Man, last week we got a ton of downloads. Yeah. A lot of interesting topics, a lot of great shows, and I want to thank everybody for their show of support and love for Tim as he went through surgery last week on the 22nd for his foot. As you know, he's slowly recouping well, and we're just going to keep sending you good vibes and energy, Tim.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's, I tell you, a lot of people, and I want to clear this up, a lot of people think it's a bad thing. It's not. It's a good thing.
It's well, it's a bad thing when you have to go in for surgery. They just, that's what they're thinking.
Well, but here's the thing, and I know your aunt has had this exact same surgery, and I'll make this real quick. Here's the deal with charcoal foot, okay? Your leg bone kind of crashes through your foot, all right? And you have a little bit of bone that sticks through your foot, and it gives you a rocker bottom foot, which is never good. That's not how your foot's supposed to be. So what they do is they go in and they shave down that bone so you have a flat foot. Now, I want a flat foot. I don't want a rocker bottom foot, because when you have a rocker bottom foot and your leg bone sticks down into your foot or through your foot, it gives you the chance that you can get an ulceration in your foot, and that it could keep opening up, and it leaves you susceptible to infection.
Yes.
So what we want to do is we want to flatten that out.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to live a nice long life without without ulcerations and infection.
But wouldn't the rocker foot help you dance better? You could do more spins and pivots?
Believe it or not, no. And you know what? Weebles do wobble and they do fall down because I can't do that little lean forward like Michael Jackson. I just fall right forward on my
really?
Face. Yeah.
Well,
I've tried it.
You're not balanced quite like Michael was, Tim.
No, I'm balanced more like Oliver Hardy. Yeah,
there's that.
I found that out.
Tonight, we have Supernatural News and Parashare. We're going to shake things up, Tim. We're going to trip people up.
Oh.
Because usually we start off with Supernatural News from around the world.
Yes.
But tonight, we're going straight to Parashare.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to share your para right here on the era.
My para.
See what I did?
My para what?
Yeah, we're going to talk about paranormal experiences from our listeners. And you can always email them in to me, dave@darknessradio.com. We are working on a future way for you to call in and leave your stories, and we can incorporate those during the show.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't know how to do that. So we'll figure something out in the future here. But we'll read more of your stories, and we've got Supernatural News. Don't worry, Tim will get a chance to share and read with you in a little bit. But let's start off with some emails, shall we, Mr. Dennis?
All right.
All right. Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Jason. I'm 36 years old and have been fascinated by the paranormal for my entire life. I hadn't heard of your show until you appeared on Talk is Jericho, but now I'm totally addicted. I'd love to know where I can find more archived episodes of the show. I'd also like to share one of my own personal experiences with the paranormal. Well, first of all, let's answer everybody on this.
Yes.
Darkness Radio, the content that we recorded with iHeartRadio went away with iHeartRadio.
Right.
And all of the old archives are currently gone. We're working on ways to possibly bring them back in the future. So we'll update you if and when that occurs. Now, we own the first roughly 3 years of the show content, and we're trying to reassemble that, and we might start plugging those in as best ofs, or we might start making those available through the archives page. Mm-hmm. So if we can do that, we'll let you know, and that's the way you can go. But if you like this show and you want to keep up with this show, remember, it is free to download and listen to. But after 90 days, episodes start going behind the wall. You have to pay to get the older archives here on Podcast One. And that's just a small, small fee every year. And I think it's like $54 a year gives you a subscription to Podcast One. It's like $54.99. But then that gives you access to all, like 165 podcast shows that are part of our network.
And have you seen the names on this network?
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff. Cow. So you get access to all their old shows and all of our old shows. It's not like you're paying $56 a month or a year to just get our show. You get access to, I think it's over 165 other podcasts.
Yeah.
So it's well worth it. Trust me on that. But if you don't want to face that decision, you don't want to worry about, I don't want to pay for this, it's been free for 12 years, I want it free forever, then just download the episodes immediately. When they come out, you can do it on iTunes, just find Beyond the Darkness, or you can do it right at podcastone.com. Or better yet, if you've got a Droid phone, you can download our Beyond the Darkness app. No, it's not Beyond the Darkness. It's Darkness Radio app. Yep. Right. Yep. And then if you download the Darkness Radio app, you can access, download, and stream the shows right from your phone. Mm-hmm. So if you have Google Play Store, just go in there, download Darkness Radio. It's a free app, and it'll give you access that way.
And let's kill this right now.
What?
Are you going to be on Stitcher? No.
No.
Are you going to be on YouTube?
No.
No. No. So let's not push that any further. Let's not keep asking that question.
Everybody's used to finding us in those places, but we're not available there. We're available. We are now loyal to Jericho Network on Podcast One.
Yep.
And that's how you'll find us. You can find us on a few of the outlets that they work with, but that's it. And you can find us on our podcast app. You can find us on, if you go to darknessradio.com, right on the front page there, we now have a player, so you can hear like the first three or four, or the last three or four episodes.
Yeah.
So it's all very easy to find and listen to. And it's free. So do that and keep up with the best in paranormal talk radio. So I hope that answered your question, Jason. Now we'll get to your story. I lived my entire life in a small rural town in Missouri. During my early 20s, my best friend Jeremy, who was a couple of years younger than me and didn't have a driver's license, lived about 7 miles outside of town on a country highway. For recreational activities, I was his only source of transportation. One night after dropping him off, I was driving home in my Ford Escort when headlights came on behind me. At first, I thought, no big deal, just another car. But this car was moving so fast, it was almost flying. As it moved closer, I could hear how loud the engine was and how wide the headlights were apart. It seemed like some type of old muscle car, and it kept gaining on me. Then I started to panic. I knew it was going to hit me. My pulse was pounding, and at that moment, when it was going to make impact, I grabbed the wheel as tightly as I could and tried to brace for the collision. Immediately, the car headlights blinked out, and the noise from the engine was gone. I know that road like the back of my hand. There are no turnoffs, and nowhere that car could have gone. After researching the road, there have been several fatal crashes, both before and since my experience. It makes me wonder whether these people had the same experience I had and didn't react well, or if it was one of the initial wrecks spawning an apparition. Anyway, thank you for letting me vent my story. I'd love to hear any thoughts you have about it. Thanks, and that's Jason Cannon. That is pretty weird. Could it be that whatever this thing is what causes the other accidents? I wonder, there has to have been other accidents in that area, Jason, and I'm sure if you contact the local police department through Freedom of Information Act, you could find out about the other accidents, maybe look them up online, and then approach people that did survive the accidents and see if they had a similar situation.
Yeah.
That would be the way I would go about it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening, Jason, and writing in to us. Hey, Dave and Tim, Corey from Fargo here.
Hi.
I had an experience with the ghost of Patsy Cline. I was at my family's lake resort and singing a Patsy Cline song at karaoke, but my voice wasn't working. In my head, I thought, I wish I could find the inspiration to sing tonight. A moment later, I felt arms wrap around me and Patsy's voice in my ear say, "Sing it out, baby," and my voice suddenly worked. And I finished the song, burst into tears, crying, and left the bar. I'll never forget her voice. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, when Tim goes up and sings karaoke and starts weeping, I'm usually the one to go up behind him and wrap my arms and say, go ahead, sing it out, baby. Sing it out.
Yeah, although it sounds more like caterwauling and the local dogs in the neighborhood have to go to the vet to have their hearing checked.
That's not true. Yeah, you usually do pretty well up there. Well. Howdy, my name is Zach. First off, awesome show. I like the beginning of this email already, Tim.
Yeah, I know.
Started listening since I heard y'all on the Jericho podcast. Had to dig back to find some old audio to listen to. Very interesting stuff. Anyway, when I was probably 12 or 13, I had seen a creature outside my window. Not sure what time it was, but it was dark out. The creature was a buff, tall man, but a pissed off dog head with dark, glowing red eyes. For a long time, I could see it appear in my room and even see it when I closed my eyes. I would see it. It seemed to be always mad and growling and seemed as if it was about to bite me. Along that time, I had been able to see people and things that aren't really there or other people can't see. One day, it all stopped. 10 years later, it had started again and has continued even now. I'm almost 26 now, and every day I see lots of people and things that aren't there. I constantly feel like I'm being watched. Not sure what all of this is or anything. One of your recent shows talked about the Rougarou and dark waters. I had just looked it up and read a bit about it. Is that what this is or something else? I am born and raised in Texas, where I still live. Have never missed with a Ouija board. Any info would be greatly appreciated. Not sure if I'm insane or something else. Well, Zach, you might be insane. I can't tell you that on a short little email like that. Right. So I don't want to discount that. You know, I would talk to somebody about it. But, yeah, do some research. Reach out to Dark Waters. He's a good guy, and he might have some insights for you on that. Yep. What are you experiencing? Well, first of all, what do you expect a man with a dog's head to do but sit there and growl and sneer at you?
Maybe
lick itself.
Play fetch with you?
Maybe. People, let me tell you about my best friend. That sounds like it'd be a cute puppy dog human, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, it would be.
Hi, my name is Ernest.
Hi.
Hey, Ernest.
Hey, Ernest.
I haven't known what I'm talking about. My name is Ernest. I'm 28 from Oklahoma City. I've had many paranormal experiences throughout my life. I would love to, if given the chance... I don't understand that sentence. I used to think I was being followed by something, but now I think that maybe I can just pick up the paranormal better than others. I found out about your show 2 weeks ago, and I listened to every episode over 3 days. I listen every day as soon as I wake up. I'll share one story with you today. Oh, we got a teaser, Tim.
Oh, come on, Ernest.
I got
Ernest.
A story for you right now, but the rest is going to cost you.
Oh, come on, Ernest.
Yeah, I know. I have, let's see. I'll share one story with you today, which I have never written about. Well, at least we're getting a new story.
Well,
nobody
else
has heard here.
All right.
If you like it, I'd be happy to share more. I'll try not to make this too long. This one is one of the weirdest things that ever happened to me. When I was around 19 to 20, I went to stay with my aunt. My cousin was about 10 years old. He always slept on the couch. I didn't question it since it meant that I had a bed to sleep in. One morning around 10 a.m., I woke up to the feeling of being choked, which woke me up. When I woke up, I could feel hands on my throat, but no one was there, and it felt like something was sitting on my chest. Now, I've had sleep paralysis many times, but this was different. I could move, but something was holding me down. And what felt like ages, my cousin opened the door, and as he was turning the knob, I felt the pressure lift off my chest, and I started gasping for air. He was checking on me and asking me what was wrong. I told him that I felt like I was being choked. He started freaking out, claiming I was trying to scare him. I think after a minute or so, he started to believe me and ran to his mom saying the girl was choking Ernie. She thought I was being a jerk and trying to scare my cousin also. But once she got the look in my eye, she said, "You really don't know?" She began to tell my cousin, tell me why my cousin wouldn't sleep in his room. A girl around 8 years old had died in that room. They weren't sure if it was murder or suicide by the story, but the story goes that she had been hung in the closet. Against my better judgment, I sleep in that room for a few more weeks until I had it happen again, followed by scratch marks forming on my arm. I watched three scratches appear on my arm, one after another. We moved out soon after, but my next room ended up being haunted as well, but by a much friendlier spirit. Thanks, guys. Love the show. I'll be willing to share more of these, and that's from Thomas Enigma 88 on Twitter, Tim. Well, thank you. That was interesting, Ernest. We appreciate you sharing that story with us. That's a creeper one, huh?
Yeah, no, bring the pain. Bring the rest of them.
Little girl kneeling on your chest, choking the life out of you. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it one bit.
No.
Now, would you continue to stay in a room where you woke up to something kneeling on your chest, choking the life out of you?
I think I paid extra for that, actually, a few times. Yeah.
God. Yeah. Hi, Dave. My name is Gary, and I'm from Hamilton, Ontario, here in Canada. I used to ghost hunt and had a few experiences at one of the most haunted spots around here, the Blue Ghost Tunnel in Welland. This is an abandoned 700-foot-long train tunnel that goes under the old Welland Canal. Every time I've gone there, I've had some sort of experience, but one really sticks with me. First, I have to tell you that because it runs under the old canal, that the tunnel leaks and the other end is partially filled with water. So my friend and I are standing in the tunnel, flashing the flashlight on and off. The way the light was hitting the wall looked like a human form lurching back and forth. I tried to think of the most reasonable explanation in it, that it was just the way the light is hitting off the wall. Suddenly the shadow stopped lurching, turns around, and runs across the tunnel. We were both amazed at what we saw. We went down to investigate, but there was no one there. And since the other side is partially submerged, we would have noticed someone crashing through the water. I used to think this was a spirit, but ever since I started listening to your podcasts, I now wonder if I saw a shadow person. I wonder what your thoughts are on this. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you, Gary, from Hamilton, Ontario in Canada. I don't know what the hell it was. Sounds like a shadow person to me. I'll go with that answer.
You know what I think?
What?
Only the shadow knows.
Survey says, top 10 answers on the board, Tim. What could it be? Shadow person. Bing, 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 bing. Number one answer, Tim.
Yeah.
Could be. I don't know. I don't know if they have that show over in Canada. Do you think they have
the Family Feud?
A?
Host it? Who would host it? Alan Thicke is gone.
Ooh, wow. Yeah. That's still a cold dig. Yeah. I don't know. Neil Peart?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got to do something now, doesn't he?
Yeah. They retired, right?
Yeah. Rush is retired now. Wow. Yeah.
Interesting.
Chad Kroeger from Nickelback, I suppose.
Yeah, Nickelback.
No, let's not.
Hello there. My name is Winter. First off, I would like to tell you guys how much I enjoy your show, Beyond the Darkness. I heard about it from an interview on Talk is Jericho.
Yeah.
Looked it up and have been hooked ever since. Anyway, I have a story about something that happened to me when I was about 8 years old. I don't really know how to explain what happened or how to categorize it, so hopefully you can help me out. Like I said, I was around 8 at this time and was living in the high desert of Southern California. My dad was gone for work a lot, so it was usually just my mother and I. One night, I remember having a hard time sleeping and spent a good hour or so opening and closing my eyes. The room was lit with an overly bright nightlight that was given to us by a family friend. One of the times I opened my eyes, the room was pitch black except for a small area surrounding the nightlight. Freaked out, I closed my eyes again, hoping that something was just wrong with my eyes, but the room was still black. I remember that the room wasn't just dark. The black almost had a thickness to it. The only way I can describe it is it looked like kind of a dense black fog. At this time, for whatever reason, I got up to look out the window. I don't know why. I didn't hear or see anything, but I just felt compelled to look. When I looked outside, I could see that the moon was very bright and that I could see very clearly. There was an old lawn chair out there with what I thought was a shadow from the roof. But as I looked closer, I noticed that the bottom of the shadow didn't connect to the shadow on the roof. It was just on the chair itself. This long, skinny shadow just seemed to float by itself over the lawn chair. What really freaked me out about this was that it looked as if it could have taken a person's shadow, stretch it out really long and thin, and then lay it over the chair. There was almost a thickness to the shadow as well. This would be freaky enough, but after seeing this, I heard a noise. This may sound crazy, but the only way I could describe the noise is that it sounded like a really long and loud elephant trumpet. It was so loud that I was surprised it didn't shake the house or wake anybody up. I couldn't tell you where it came from, only that I could cover my ears and ran to my mother when I heard it. I guess it could have been many things, and like I said, I'm not sure how to categorize, but I know I was awake enough to run to my mother and wake her up, who, of course, went out to the backyard but saw nothing. One thing or other things have happened to me and my mother in that house, and I've had other creepy things happen to me, but this was certainly one of the most frightening to me. The funny thing to me about this is that I didn't even remember it until a few days ago. After hearing all the creepy things in Parashare, you would think I would remember this sooner, but what triggered my memory was listening to another show about UFOs, and one of the guests talked about people hearing a trumpeting in the skies around the world. And the world, or I'm sorry, The word trumpeting, rather, gave me a chill, and this memory came back, and I could feel the fear I felt back then. That is the first time that's ever happened to me. And just to be clear, this happened to me 24 years ago. So I've listened to the trumpeting in the skies recently. It does not sound like the same thing to me. Anyway, I hope you can maybe give me an explanation, different perspective, something. Maybe this just happened to other people. I'm not sure. But at the very least, hopefully telling you a story to somebody who won't judge me right away will be a bit of peace. Thank you for listening and keep doing what you're doing. You guys are great. I wish I had answers. I wish I could just join in. I mean, it's weird that a shadow person would just be lounging out in the lawn chair. But why not? I guess if it's a spirit and you're just catching the shadow of what once was human, if it wants to sprawl out on a lawn chair, why not? The trumpeting in the skies? I don't know.
There was that whole rash of those noises. What was that? A few years ago now.
Yeah, two, three
years ago. It was maybe everybody got Minnesota high on the Vikings fever, for a while. Yeah. And then they collapsed after that 5-0 start.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. But you said it sounded different than any of the other sounds you've heard online.
Like an elephant trumpeting.
That is a creepy noise, too. Yeah. Have you ever heard an elephant like in a full...
Yeah.
It's very creepy sounding. Yeah.
Like an angry...
Yeah, elephant.
Yeah.
It's like an angry elephant. All right.
The angry elephant, by the way, is a new tavern I'm opening.
You should.
Yeah, this fall. Elephant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can all the snootful you can drink, by the way. It's
really?
Yeah.
Sign me up. Hi, my name is CJ. I'm a believer in the paranormal, but I try not to jump to that conclusion without trying to debunk it first. Out of all of my experiences, I feel I should share the ones that have gone on at the sawmill where I work in North Idaho. This may be a bit long, but I'll try to explain some terminology as best I can. Did we read this story before? This sounds familiar to me. Huh. Several months, probably from last week. Several months after I started working at the mill, I was promoted to saw filer, maintenance guy in charge of changing and sharpening the blades.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
We have, yeah.
You sent me the story again. I'm just going to erase that.
Yeah, saw filer. I remember this one.
We'll pass on that one then, so we already did that.
It's okay. We still love you, though.
Oh, this is interesting.
Okay.
The Chillingham Castle story. Chillingham Castle. I'm going to be going to Chillingham, Tim.
Yeah,
we're going to be going to our Darkness Radio Invades Britain, our British invasion event, which will be happening in September. We're getting such an overwhelming response, we may do another event in July or August out there as well. An exact replica of the same tour with Neil Story.
Wow.
So if you're interested, and because we're pretty much booked out for the September event, if you're interested and would like information, and you can go read what we have available on it by going to darknessevents.com and just click on the British Invasion Tour banner. Click on that. It'll take you in and give you all the information about what we'll be doing. But if you would be interested in doing that, but doing an earlier one in July or August, email me and let me know. And if we can get enough people on it, we've got probably about 15 people we could not accommodate on the regular trip already. So if we can get up to about 20, 30 people, we might open up a second trip.
There you go.
So we'll do that. But Chillingham Castle, Tim. Ooh. What a great name, Chillingham.
Right.
Right? Sounds creepy.
Yeah. Oh. Sounds refreshing in the middle of summer.
Dear Dave and Tim, I understand that you and a few lucky members of the Army of Darkness will be invading Britain later on this year. I wish I could go with you, but you see, I'll be doing my own invasion in May. The Edinburgh Vaults, Jack the Ripper, and many more sites are in store for me on my third trip to my second home. That's a lot of math right there.
Yes.
I'll let the spirits know you're coming. Since you first mentioned your British invasion tour, I heard the name Chillingham dropped once or twice, and I wanted to share with you the experiences I had in that very castle back in 2009. As college graduation present, my parents made my dream of staying overnight in a castle a reality. To say I was excited was an understatement, however. Unknowingly, my mother had booked us on an overnight stay in one extremely haunted Chillingham Castle. I had no complaints. Actually, I was even more excited to know that I would be staying over in a haunted location, as the paranormal was something that intrigued me from a very young age. The castle was beautiful as it was foreboding, certainly a structure that was meant to be more imposing than welcoming, but it drew me in nonetheless. We had access to the entire castle and grounds, and I can tell you, it was a graduation present I will never forget. When I say we, I should clarify that it was my mother, my father, myself, and a very dear friend of mine who were on this two-week trip. Now, we stayed in what is known as the Gray Apartment, and there is a portrait of Lady Gray hanging with the apartment for which it's named. Lady Gray's real name was Lady Mary Berkeley, and she was the lady of the castle for a time. There's a well-known story that Lady Gray will emerge from her portrait and wander the corridors of the castle at night, but my friend and I were unable to witness this for ourselves. I would have killed for a static night vision camera. However, I can tell you that I felt some sense of sadness and peace coming from her portrait. Now, I thanked her for allowing us to stay at her home, and surprisingly, I felt very comfortable in that little apartment, with the exception of the bathroom. Both my parents and my friend abhorred the bathroom. We would actually go to the bathroom in pairs because we always felt uneasy about it and felt better with a lookout. I can tell you no pooping took place in there because no rightful person can poop in a room with another person standing there. Except for my kids.
Wow.
They, you know, I take a shower, brushing my teeth. They'll come in and poop at any given time.
Really?
Yeah. That's paranormal. Poop-a-normal.
Boy, it is.
All right. Now, remember the bathroom, for I will return here. Being a good haunted location, there was, of course, a ghost tour. So come nightfall, we grabbed our lanterns and went to hear about the history of the castle and the land it sat upon. Northumberland is right on the border between England and Scotland, and you can only imagine the carnage and bloodshed it has seen over the years. It was about halfway through the tour, probably sooner than that, that my father left us and returned to the apartment as he wasn't feeling well. In fact, he hadn't been feeling well since the moment we pulled up to the castle. It wasn't so much the torture chamber we were in or the ghastly descriptions of what John Sage, the torturer of Chillingham, had done to his victims that turned my father's stomach. Then it was something else. So my dad left us to continue the tour while he went back to the apartment alone. It would not be until the following morning that he would relate this to us. But apparently, when he had gone back to, well, let's just say, worship the porcelain god in that creepy bathroom, he heard someone say, Bobby, in a Scottish accent. They say Bobby in a Scottish accent.
Bobby!
My dad was the only living soul in the apartment at this time. This occurred, and the rest of us were in another section of the castle on the ghost tour. He was so ill that he just didn't care what he was hearing at the moment and proceeded with the worship of the almighty porcelain god. Later, my father would joke that he usually doesn't have auditory hallucinations with a Scottish accent.
Ah, no puking in our damn bathroom, Bobby.
I should point out that my father is the skeptic in the family, and he was not the only one sick the entire time we were at Chillingham. The second we left, he was back to normal. There was no rhyme or reason for his illness. Nothing he ate. It started when we arrived at Chillingham and disappeared when we left Chillingham. He tries to explain it as being rational, but he can't even really put a finger on what caused all of the sudden illness. The rest of the night went by without incident. We heard footsteps coming from below and continued to go to the bathroom in pairs, but for the most part, I slept very well, with all the lights on and hugging my friend. I'm not proud, I'll admit it. Most of the activity, though, seemed to be in the room my parents were sleeping in. It was referred to in the castle as the three steps room, and there was three small steps that led into the room itself. There was an armoire next to the bed that my mom kept getting annoyed with as it kept opening during the night, and she had to keep getting up to shut it. It wasn't until morning that she realized the armoire latched from inside, and it shouldn't have opened at all.
Whoa. Yeah.
The bathroom, still creepy in the daytime. I refused to even take a shower in there the next morning because I felt like you were being watched the entire time. Pervy ghost watching me while I shower. No, thank you. Really? As we waited for our taxi to come pick us up, my friend and I decided to walk the castle grounds. What the hell was that?
That was nothing.
What was that?
My phone.
Your phone. Real mature over there.
Sorry.
Got to turn your phone off when we're doing a show.
It just fired off on.
Yeah, I just heard creepy voices coming in my ear while I'm trying to read story.
Go ahead. It's
very freaky. Knock that crap off. All right. As we waited for our taxi to come pick us up, my friend and I decided to walk the castle grounds and see it for ourselves in the daylight. For a place with a history or so much death, torture, and bloodshed, it was gorgeous. One of the most beautiful landscapes I've ever seen. However, if you look closely at the trees around the property, you will notice that the trunks seem to be twisted and contorted into gruesome, pained faces, screaming faces. There are stories about a hanging tree on the property, and while I am aware that the human mind does like to matrix things, there is just a vibe these trees give off in this otherwise serene area that just doesn't seem right. As my friend and I were returning to the castle on this particular morning from our walk around the property, we ended up running into one of the groundskeepers who was walking his dog. We stopped to chat with the gentleman and hopefully get some puppy love from his dog, seeing as we missed our own puppies back in the States. The thing was, though, the dog would not come near us. Even his owner said this was strange behavior for him. One minute the dog was happy and bouncing, the next he is cowering behind his owner with his tail tucked and his ears are back. The three of us chatted for a bit before we all went our separate ways, and the second the dog was away from us, it was back to bouncing and being happy again. I remarked to my friend how bizarre that was, and we continued walking back to the castle. But we didn't get very far as I found myself bracing for impact with the gravel path we were on. There were no tree roots for me to trip over. The ground was not slippery. And while I am blonde, I can attest that it was not one of those moments. I just fell. My knees and hands were all scraped up and bloody, and I just can't explain it, except it felt like someone stuck their foot out in front of me to trip me. Only no one was there. I would have typically chalked this up to my own clumsiness, but after seeing the dog react in such a strange manner and knowing for a fact that I'd not slip or trip on anything in the environment, I just can't explain it. In one of the rooms downstairs that led to the dungeon, my parents, my friends, and myself all watched as a doorknob turned by itself. Fun fact about this door, it was a swing door, and the doorknob was just there for decoration. There was a window on the door itself, so you could see who or what was on the other side, of course, and there was no one there, just a turning doorknob that wasn't supposed to turn. There was also a picture that my mother took of our tour guide for the ghost tour, William, and it wasn't until reviewing much later that I noticed someone standing at the gate behind him. To me, it looks like a woman with her hands clasped in front of her. I know that no one was behind William when that picture was taken, and no one at the castle was dressed like that, so your guess is as good as mine. It was a little rainy, so I wonder if maybe Lady Berkeley came out to see what was going on at home. I've attached the photo so others can see what they can make out. Interesting. One last note about Chillingham. Don't take anything from the building, not even a bloody piece of fruit. Why would I take fruit from a haunted castle? Now I've been reading and watching every little thing on the paranormal since I was a kid, and I know a big no-no is taking objects from haunted locations. What's funny about this is, this wasn't an object. This was a piece of fruit laid out for us at breakfast. You see, my mother is diabetic, and since we were going to be on the road that morning, I suggested she take a banana with her if her blood sugar would crash. Well, apparently the curse of Chillingham extends to taking fruit or for medical purposes as well. We ended up lost on our next destination, the bed and breakfast, and we booked somehow lost our reservation, and we almost didn't have a place to stay for the night. Things worked out, and thankfully, but it was a bit hairy for a while. And in case you're wondering, we threw the cursed fruit. Even my skeptic of a father wasn't taking a chance. I may never be able to explain my experiences during my stay at Chillingham Castle, but I can tell you, it is a place rich in history, seeped in tragedy, and shrouded in mysterious beauty. If you're brave enough to stay the night at the magnificent castle, take a moment to thank Lady Berkeley for allowing you into her home. She might just pay you a visit and make sure that your stay is a pleasant one. Just make sure you don't take any cursed fruit home with you. And that comes from Kirsty in Orlando, Florida. You can read this on air if you wish, but I wanted to let you know that we were actually filmed during this by British TV. It was just as much a surprise as my mom booking the haunted castle. The show was called John Sargent on the Tourist Trail. The crew actually sent us a copy of the DVD. I have no idea if I could make a copy of it for you, but I can try. Just let me know. I'm just trying to see. Oh, my. Yeah, you could definitely see a woman standing in the doorway behind him. That's kind of freaky and weird.
That sounds like a kid's book, Kirsty and the Cursed Fruit.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool, Kirsty. Thank you for sharing that. What a cool deal. All right, let's see. We've got time for a couple more stories here before we get rolling. Let me see here. Where are we going to go? Hi, guys. I was listening to your podcast from June 6th. Holy cow.
Wow.
2016, and you guys were laughing about the mark of the beast. Had to call to tell, or had to tell you about myself. I was born June 6th, 1968, and my social insurance, the Canadian version of social security number, has a 666 in it, also 666. Good thing I'm not superstitious. A quick paranormal story, if you like. When I was 6 or 7, I was riding my bicycle home from the store, and I passed a partially destroyed building. As I rode by, an older friend called to me from the second floor window. No glass in the window. He said, "Hi." I waved and continued on my way. From this house, I was able to see my house. So I arrived home about a minute or two later. When I walked into our living room, I looked right into the face of the same guy who had spoken to me a couple of minutes ago. I did not speak, but ran to my mom and lost it, crying. I had seen a ghost, or is it a ghost if the person is still alive? I think I freaked out my friend when I finally calmed down enough to tell everyone why I was crying. I think he thought it was a premonition of his death or something. He lived another 35 years. I have never forgotten this. Any explanations? Enjoy your show. Lots of fun. Thanks. And that comes from Danny Heath.
Doppelganger.
Yeah, possibly a doppelganger.
Yeah.
Or could have just been that maybe at some point your friend had gone into that house and was messing around and it was a bit of a residual haunting.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Dave and Tim. You might know me as Graveyard Girl on Twitter, and I want to let you guys know I love the show and really hope nothing drastically changes. Anyway, this happened in the summer of 2014 in Blaine, Minnesota, Tim.
The old hometown of Blaine.
It was a warm night around 11 p.m. or midnight, and I decided to sit on our back porch and read. It was brightly lit with very comfy outdoor furniture. I was reading a book about pagans and practicing witches. It wasn't a book of spells or anything like that, just interviews and such. And I'm not sure if that is related at all, but maybe it is. Anyway, I was reading on the porch as I was reading on the porch for a hole, when I heard some rustling leaves in the backyard, I quickly looked over the porch and railing. That's when I saw what I believed to be a shadow of a person's head and shoulder dart back in between our chain link fence and the shed. It took me a second to process this, but once I did, I shot out of my chair and headed into the house. Once I closed the sliding glass door, I remember thinking, what if someone is out there in our backyard? What if someone is going to break in? So I step back out onto the porch, making sure to be as quiet as possible, intending to yell, "Hey, I see you," or something, just to make this guy go away. I peered over the railing, and there it was. Now he was standing out a little further than he was before, so I could see all of him. He was darker than dark shadow and had an indescribable white markings where his face should have been. This time he wasn't so quick about sliding back to the shed. This time he was very slow and glided back and never turning his head away from me. Once he was out of sight, I ran back into the house down the steps to tell my then boyfriend. I told him what had happened, and he was sure it was a person trying to break in, so he went to check. He went out into the backyard, back between the chain link fence and the shed, right where it had been standing not minutes before. He asked if I'd heard the fence move as if someone had jumped it. I hadn't. I only heard leaves shuffling around on the ground. That's when I decided it had to have been paranormal. I had him stand where I believe the shadow person was, trying to recreate the markings on its face with shadows, or to see if maybe there could have been a person. I had him walk backward and forwards, but nothing could create what I had seen. I know this thing didn't say anything to me or do anything scary, but something like that in your backyard was enough to shake me up for a night. Anyway, hope you guys enjoyed it. Have a fabulous night, and that is Alex. Well, no, Alex, that's a pretty damn good reason to be freaked out.
Yeah.
See a shadow moving around, and then it starts to float back, glide back towards the fence, and then kind of comes back at you. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Dave. I'm a devoted fan of Darkness Radio. I'm writing for a couple of reasons today. First off, I want you to know that I'm sure I speak for your entire fan base when I say that I will follow your show no matter where you and Tim end up hanging your hats, or microphones, rather. I know you both will do what needs to be done for the greater good of the show, and I'm sure your fans that whatever happens is for the best. Okay, now I want to share something. Well, first of all, thank you very much for that love and support, Christy, and we think it's been an excellent move.
Oh, yeah.
And very thankful to be a part of Podcast One and the Jericho Network.
Yep.
Okay, now I want to share something on a slightly paranormal note. I've debated relaying this story because I don't want to be put in the creepy fan list. However, after your January 5th message to fans in hour 3 of the show, I thought, what the hell? I'll throw caution to the wind. I had a dream last week. December 31st. This is an older email, by the way.
Okay.
That I was walking through a building and found you laying down on the floor behind some sort of desk or counter. You were feeling physically ill and were intensely heartbroken. I helped you up. We chatted and then watched TV. And you said doing so would make you feel better. Also, you apologized for wearing your comfy clothes and that you weren't more dressed up for the special occasion of New Year's Eve. I told you that wasn't a big deal and we just sat on a random couch and watched TV together. That's it. The incredible emotional torment you were going through, though, was deeply felt, and I was relieved to have stumbled upon you in such an accidental way to give you the support when you needed it. As a loyal listener to the show, I know that you have recently experienced a loss in your family, and now with circumstances around the show being difficult, it's clear that I just picked up on some anguish that you were going through. I think the dream just reinforces what a powerful impact your show has on the lives of so many of the listeners. As fans, we feel comfort in having a place to come home 5 nights a week where we can let our paranormal geek flags fly high in the company of like-minded individuals. But with that said, we are resilient. We will adapt to whatever changes are made, if any, and it will all work out. Kind regards. That comes from Christy in Indianapolis. Well, thank you, Christy. That was a very sweet email. Nice support and love, Tim.
Christy didn't mention what it was you were watching that calmed me down.
None of your damn business, all right? I mean, you need to know.
What did you two watch?
Teletubbies.
Teletubbies?
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, la-la, uh-oh, po, uh-oh, darkness, Dave.
Really? That's what calmed
you
down.
Uh-oh, Tinky Winky. Yeah, that calms me down. Don't judge me.
All right.
You know what's freaky? Did you know the Teletubbies have kids now?
What?
Yes. They're the Teletibbies, I think they're called.
How do they reproduce?
They're friggin' alien creatures. But they're damned adorable little babies, I got to be honest.
They ain't got parts.
The Teletibbies, I think they're called.
The Teletibbies?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They're very cute.
They ain't got parts.
Makes me wish I had another baby just so I could watch the Teletibbies. I'm wrong.
You have a granddaughter. You got an excuse.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Dave and Tim, listening to your January 5th podcast on the Darkness Radio app and only hoping that you guys are still there. I started listening on YouTube, then Podbean, and finally found the Darkness app. You've kept me company on many a dark drive home from late night gigs along the dark and lonely highways of Scotland where the ferocious haggis doth lurk. Got a couple of short stories I will hope will make your paranormal parishare hours. I'll only give you the one for now and save the others for another time.
Oh, no.
Ah, you son of a motherless goat. My wife and I had been working in Oxfordshire, England, and had managed to snag our festive holidays I feel like my eyes are crisscrossing as I'm reading. Let me try this sentence again.
All right.
My wife and I had been working in Oxfordshire, England, and had managed to snag our festive holidays at the same, which, as we are in entirely different careers, was a small miracle in itself. We had ourselves and our dog traveling all the way home from Oxford to Prestoponus, just outside Edinburgh, on a drive of around 380 miles. We decided to make the journey at night, as the roads are always quieter. We started our journey around 10:30 p.m. and we were well on our way by around 1 a.m. when we made our first comfort break for both humans and dog. We'd usually only make a stop and could usually do the journey in 6 hours in regular traffic. After all the occupants were made comfortable, watered, and Scooby snacked, we headed onward north. Clear roads and good weather for that time of year saw us reach our last section of the journey, roughly 2/3 of the way home, well on schedule. The A702 is the main road connecting the Edinburgh and Lothian area of the east to the southwest of, oh my God, these words and names of towns are just, they seem like complete rubbish. I don't believe that they exist. Lanarkshire area of Scotland and the main road south. We were heading northeast back towards Edinburgh and traveled the A702 at all times of day, in all weather and all types of traffic. The road was thankfully quiet and the night extremely dark, but the route familiar and we had good visibility. I was driving and taking it easy as we had always and already made good time and didn't want to make unnecessary risks. The road has many long, straight, sharp bends, hidden and sudden junctions from both sides of the road, blind summits and hidden dips. Coming to the end of a long straight, just before the road gently bends, a road joins from the right, kind of like the arm of a capital letter Y, and left fork, and my road the left fork and my road has right of way as its main carriageway. We're traveling at around 55 and suddenly a car shoots out of the right fork towards us on our side of the road. They were going fast. I shout a nasty expletive, which wakes up the wife. I jump on the brakes, ABS activates, I turn and avoid the car, and I end up on the other carriageway still moving, at which point the oncoming car decides to correct the error and return to the intended side of the road, which means I have to take avoiding action again. Cue exact same maneuver with opposing directions. I swear the cars must have missed each other by a baw hair. B-A-W? Baw hair? Do you think it's like ball hair? I don't know. I was shaken, to say the least, but we were okay and moving. My wife asked if I wanted to stop, and I said I just wanted to get home. We had a quick check on our dog, and she was fine, too. So we carried on. My wife could tell I was shaking in the darkness. She asked why, and again, if I was okay, and this is what I told her. I had a different memory of the events. I actually just typed crash, but had to delete it, so I'll get to the point. Even though we were both fine, no accident took place, and we're driving home, I had the memory of a still stationary wrecked car, the taste of grit, the smell of diesel, a smashed windscreen, and darkness. Other than a few remaining dashboard lights, upon looking at my wife's beautiful face, I noticed it still up and cut from shattered glass from the windscreen. Silence surrounded us. The memory doesn't inform me of how well she fared or even if our dog was okay, but the first-person perspective is burned into my memory. We decided not to share my memory with anyone else as both our parents and family hated us making the long night, late-night journeys, and Darkness Radio is the first airing we've made of this story. Personally, I believe in the many-worlds parallel universe idea, amongst others, and believe I had a glimpse of an unfortunate reality of a different place. Or maybe you were there, had that accident, and joined us in this universe. How do you feel about Kirk Douglas? Do you remember when he died? I'm just saying, this is my philosophy, Tim.
Well,
maybe you jumped from that universe to here and you just have that small fragment of memory left. Anyway, when I think of all the journey points and decisions that brought us to that exact point in time, the late night Christmas traffic in Oxford, not to have been traveling 5 miles per hour faster, taking 10 minutes less or more at the comfort break. I can't think about how lucky we were. I hope you're still there when I check the podcast tomorrow, because as I mentioned earlier, I have at least two more stories, which I'll share with you later. Stay safe and come see Nessie. She's way cooler than any daft English werewolf. Yours, Cameron. Well, Cameron, I was in Scotland a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be happy to join in Scotland again. Again, we're going to be out traveling the world this year, seeing all kinds of cool places around the United States, and we'd love for you to join us. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be out at the Belvoir Winery in July, the Oddfellows Asylum in Liberty, Missouri. You've seen it on Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures. Now is your chance to come out and investigate with Chris Fleming, myself, and Bill Chappell. We'll have an entire immersive weekend of exploring, investigating, and seeking answers to the supernatural. Tickets are on sale, and you can find all that information at darkness.com. events.com. You'll also find other information on the website there that you can use, you can come see Tim. You're going to be out at Michigan Paracon this year, Tim? Not sure. Well, no. I know there's a Chicago Paracon.
Chicago Paracon.
We're trying to get him out to the Michigan Paracon. We're going to be at a couple different locations throughout the year, but to keep up with us, keep checking darknessevents.com for that. All right, let's take a break. We're up against a break here. We'll come back, and then we will continue with supernatural news right here on Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
And welcome back. This is Beyond the Darkness. We did a little bit of Parashare to start off the show.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time to turn the reins back over to Tim for Supernatural News. Are you ready, Mr. Dennis?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Where in the world shall we begin this evening's journey into the strange and supernatural?
Well, let's go to London, Dave.
Dun, 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 dun.
Are we sure that's the right song?
That is.
Way?
I know that one is right. Yeah.
All right. An unearthed essay on alien life reveals that Winston Churchill really was a scientist. A newly unearthed essay, I Can Speak, English is My Second Language, by Winston Churchill shows that Britain's wartime leader was uncannily prescient, right?
Okay.
About the possibility of alien life on planets orbiting stars other than the sun.
Hmm.
The 11-page article was drafted on the eve of World War II in 1939 and updated in the 1950s, decades before astronomers discovered the first extrasolar planets in the 1990s. Yet Churchill pinpointed issues dominating today's debate about extraterrestrial life, proving that the former prime minister reasoned like a scientist, according to an analysis of his work published in the journal Nature on Wednesday.
Mm.
The hunt for life on other worlds has taken off in the last 20 years, as observations have suggested that the Milky Way alone may contain more than a billion Earth-sized planets.
A billion.
A billion and billion and billion Earth-sized planets, Dave, that could be habitable.
Nice.
Or habitable. As we used to say,
it's habitable.
Habitable is the name of my new clothing line.
Oh, good.
Which means I could live in it.
Okay.
Churchill was already thinking along similar lines nearly 80 years ago. Writing that with hundreds of thousands of nebulae, each containing thousands of millions of suns, the odds are enormous that there must be immense numbers which possess planets whose circumstances would not render life impossible. He also honed in on the importance of liquid water for life, saying that a suitable planet would have to be between a few degrees of frost and the boiling point of water.
Mm.
Modern scientists are busier than ever looking for signs of life in such environments, both in our own solar system and in the wider universe. So far, they have found nothing. Churchill's essay was probably intended as a popular science piece for a newspaper, although it never appeared in print. The famous polymath has already written similar science articles for newspapers and magazines, including one on fusion power in 1931. The typewritten essay entitled "Are We Alone in the Universe?" was uncovered last year in the archives of the U.S. National Churchill Museum in Fulton, Missouri. I bet you know that. I didn't know that existed.
Mm-mm,
yeah,
I did
it's
not.
A pretty popular tourist attraction, right next to the Worm Museum for fishing.
Next to the Worm Museum,
yeah,
you say.
Right there in Fulton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And passed to astrophysicist Mario Livio for expert examination. In his analysis in Nature.
Looks good to me.
That's a good one. I like that there, essay for the extraterrestrial life. In his analysis in Nature, Livio praised, he didn't practice anything. He doesn't need to practice, Dave. He's a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Livio praised Churchill's clear thinking as well as his support for science as a tool of government policy. Churchill was the first prime minister to employ a science advisor and then shortly fired him, Dave, because he wasn't that sciencey. No, I'm kidding. I made that last part up. At a time when a number of today's politicians shun science, I find it moving to recall a leader who engaged with it so profoundly, Livio wrote. Churchill's vision of life on Earth in the first half of the 20th century, however, was far from rosy. I, for one, am not so immensely impressed by the success we are making of our civilization here that I am prepared to think we are the only spot in this immense universe which contains living, thinking creatures, or that we are the highest type of mental and physical development which has ever appeared in the vast compass of space and time, is the quote made by Churchill. And there you be.
All right.
There you be, there you be.
We're all about our thoughts on this.
I guess we are.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of life out there and ancient aliens and aliens in general, we turn now to an archaeologist's recreation of Stonehenge And whether it demonstrates a religious link to the ancient aliens themselves, for paranormal fans, because English, again, is my second language, as you can tell, modern experimental archaeology is a field that provides incredible insights into the folklore of ancient peoples and, more excitingly, good technical data to support those insights. A British scholar, Dr. Rupert Till of the University of Huddersfield, again, a made-up name in England for a town, has used a video game-like reconstruction, as shown by the BBC News of Stonehenge, thousands of years in the past, and the sounds of Stonehenge come to life without the din of tourists in nearby motorways.
It echoes in the sounds of Stonehenge.
Oh, you know, the remake of that song is amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be clear, Dr. Till has in no way asserted a religious link between present and past belief systems, and he would probably be shocked to find his work in the paranormal news, but the link presents itself if one considers a long history of acoustics and religious or paranormal beliefs. Before getting to the link between present and past, it would be helpful to contextualize. I got to be careful there. Thanks to Marvin Gaye. Dr. Till's work. I'm going to kind of link the joke here, because when I get that feeling, I want contextualizing healing. Hey, man, you got to sometimes put two and two together and get six. His work revolves around an idea that ancient people were drawn to places that had a unique acoustic signature, which alone could easily have fallen out of a paranormal researcher's notes about any number of phenomena.
That's my acoustical signature.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Well, nice.
Thank you.
It kind of sounds like the Brown sound.
Pardon me? No, that sounds a lot more like...
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. And it fits in with the larger trend in archaeology that attempts to reconstruct the past in a meaningful and personal way, apart from the clinical approach of texts and more traditional field work. The quote is, "The moment we start creating a virtual reality world and it begins to ask questions, especially about people, what were they wearing?" I don't know that that's the first question
no,
I asked.
Not mine. No.
What were their postures? Were they colored, tattooed? As soon as we recreate the immersive experience, it demands those answers. It gives a new sensory experience to looking at the past that might take us beyond what... Don't move on me, article! Beyond what we describe in books. My scrolly thingy is a little squirrely tonight. I know it's out of context and you can't see stuff because it's radio, but the internet's squirrely. It is that very sensory experience, sometimes paranormal in nature, that opens up the echoes of the past and actively engages a paranormal community that often relies heavily on sensory experience to research paranormal claims. Dr. Till's extensive knowledge of music is evident in his choice of instruments for his immersive experience, as demonstrated in a video below in this article, which you can't see because it's radio. I could, you know, probably play it for you, but, you know. And his focus on percussion reflects an understanding that in many ancient traditions, rhythm and percussion were imperative to a spiritual experience. And it is precisely on this point that the paranormal news intersects with modern and ancient technologies. The news here is that paranormal researchers have long studied vibration in the context of certain paranormal phenomena. Sound is one of the primary ways human beings communicate and has long been a source of sacred inspiration. BeliefNet, a non-aligned community promoting faith and spirituality, has an entire searchable catalog of over 1,000 articles related to one's vibration and ways to synchronize it for the good. And if you're synchronizing your vibration, then by gosh, you've spent too much time in your mom's basement. I just had to throw that one in there too. Sorry. Okay. If Dr. Till is correct that the people who lived around Stonehenge built it with acoustics in mind for the purpose of a religious experience or even a paranormal experience and attempting to speak with the dead, then the concept of a vibration as a focal point for religious or paranormal experience stands as an unbroken chain between modern humans and our distant cousins who lived before history was recorded in more discreet ways. That is, there must be either a belief among those inclined to paranormal experiences that mirrors the beliefs of humans long gone in some sort of cultural lineage, or there must be some as yet unmeasured way to quantify the paranormal effects of sound as it relates to human consciousness. Even if Dr. Till never intended for his application of technology to find its way into the paranormal news, the application for it in paranormal research is exciting. Perhaps a paranormal researcher could utilize the technology to measure frequencies of sound that are anomalous or paranormal in nature. Perhaps this is the beginning of a technological advance that will ultimately identify, isolate, and describe that will tie the paranormal research of today with the intuitive beliefs of the past. That would be welcome news in the paranormal community and a unique bridge for modern culture to use to reach a distant paranormal and mystical past.
Have you heard the audio? You know, what they'll do is they'll take these stones and they resonate them to see what kind of tonality they get out of them and what kind of acoustical vibration it'll cause. And the problem was with Stonehenge, it's been so severely damaged, they missed some of the notes in it.
Okay.
But they've actually resonated the sound waves from Stonehenge.
Okay.
And the audio is actually quite surprising.
I've got the video right here.
Do you have it right there?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Should we pop it up here and see what happens?
No.
No?
No.
You don't want it?
Oh, there we go.
There's a Stonehenge experience right here. It's even got a cute little theme here.
Mono. I first got involved with Stonehenge because I had friends who were archaeologists who were digging at the site. And working with music technology, I started to realize that the acoustics of Stonehenge were quite interesting. And for that reason, we wanted to create an acoustic model of Stonehenge, so as well as looking at it, you could hear what it sounded like. And working with digital modelers and visualizers, we've created an interactive model with Rubui so that you can explore Stonehenge and so that you can move around the site of it and see what it looked like in prehistory and also hear what it sounded like. Science and heritage is very important in contemporary academic culture, and it's a really interesting area. And using these scientific tools such as audio modeling and visual modeling to be able to explore Stonehenge gives us the chance to experience the site in our own way.
You are looking directly at the position of the sunrise on the winter solstice. The solstice was the most significant time of year for many ancient peoples, with the winter solstice signifying the rebirth of the sun.
So this is a brilliant development, a really powerful way of experiencing Stonehenge in prehistory.
All right, now we're gonna play that actual audio from what Stonehenge sounds like.
All right, okay.
And it's pretty fascinating. Like I said, it's something that'll, you know, once you hear it, it kind of sticks with you. It's beautiful in its own way.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Who knew these stones were so musical?
Wow. It is really catchy. I would say these stones are on a roll.
You're no strangers to love.
Wow. What a voice.
You know the rules, and
so do I. That's right.
Wow.
You know how they got those stones in there, don't you?
No.
They Rickrolled them.
Oh. Ah!
Never gonna. All right, that's it. That's the ancient mystical sounds of Stonehenge.
Too. You just Rickrolled hundreds of thousands of people. Way to go.
Manamana.
Do 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 do.
That's right. Now we're sticking in with two songs. All right, what have you got next for us?
Oh, boy. Let's continue with the paranormal stuff, shall we?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Sure thing, pal.
Let's talk poltergeist, shall we?
Okay.
And home security cameras.
Uh-huh.
Because when you're looking for a home security system, you should want to keep out poltergeists.
Mm-hmm.
They never market that on the commercials.
No.
No. A home security camera shows a child fleeing from supposed supernatural activity. Who knew? A poltergeist video is making its way around the internet. Coast to Coast AM shared news of the disturbing poltergeist video on their show. Several other media outlets have picked up the poltergeist video after a young girl's father shared it on a Spanish Facebook page devoted to supernatural and paranormal stories. The 2-minute video clip shows a young girl fleeing from alleged poltergeist activity as she plays inside the family's home. The poltergeist video has since gone viral on social media after it was uploaded to the La Otra Dimension page just over 2 weeks ago. La Otra Dimension, translated to The Other Dimension, has over 1 million followers on Facebook. When Julio Cesar Alvarez Perez, who, by the way, is a hell of a boxer, Dave, mm-hmm. I don't know if you know that or not, shared the poltergeist video on the page on December 26th, it went quickly viral with nearly 80,000 shares, 14,000 comments, 32,000 Facebook likes and reactions, and one partridge in a pear tree. The Huffington Post explains why we're all so obsessed with the paranormal. According to a report published in 2015, people tend to use paranormal activity as a way to escape the monotony, not the monotony, Dave, but the monotony.
Monotony.
Of daily life. The report goes on to say that people are actually attracted to fear, adding that the fear of the unknown offers an emotional release that we don't get in day-to-day life. I like to go to a masseuse for that. Just saying. The young girl in the poltergeist video certainly showed fear of the unknown and quickly fled from it, a reaction that Cosmos magazine says is a normal fear response. Fleeing the scene is a defensive reaction that depends on the level of fear and how accessible an escape route is. During the first minute of the poltergeist video, the child is not even aware that a haunted doll is moving its head from side to side, even though the doll is sitting on the floor just a short distance from where the girl is sitting. The next half of the poltergeist video shows the young girl drawing in another room when papers start to move around on the table, seemingly by an invisible force. Now my page wants to keep moving on its own. It's paranormal, Dave. After fleeing from the room for a few seconds, the young girl does show some intrigue and fascination with the poltergeist activity and returns, only to be scared off again when the papers fly off the table. Other objects are knocked to the ground, and the table itself starts to move across the floor. The Mirror reports that the poltergeist video has been viewed over 5 million times since it was posted on the Spanish Facebook page. According to the report, the young girl's father, Julio Cesar Alvarez Perez, filmed the poltergeist video last September and shared it last December. Julio allegedly set up the home security cameras after his daughter complained that something was bothering her. Julio also defends the legitimacy of the poltergeist video, saying that to those who say it's fake, I would like to see your face if any of this happened to you or worse, your daughter. In fact, several people on social media have accused Julio of setting up the poltergeist activity, adding in the comments that it looks super staged. Another Facebook user commented that the doll probably has a remote control, while still others say strings were attached to objects and a wind was set up to blow papers off the table. There are obvious pauses in the poltergeist video, especially noticeable during the second half. A blog post on the Vigilantes says it's quite easy to set up a staged poltergeist video. The author of the post, Haley Stevens, along with another member of the British Animal Anomalistic, not Animalistic, Dave, that's a whole different blog. British Anomalistic Research Society, or BARSOC, as they call themselves, set out to debunk another poltergeist video that was shared by a mother who lives in the Warwickshire, England, city of Coventry, one of those made-up names again. That poltergeist video was uploaded to YouTube in 2011 and also went viral with thousands of views. Comments also claim fakery, even though the mother, along with her two children, were allegedly not home when the poltergeist activity was captured. The two BARSOC researchers allegedly used several common household items to successfully recreate a poltergeist video, adding that the people probably made dodgy poltergeist videos as a way to move house. Mike St. Clair of Viper Paranormal out of Roanoke, Virginia, says that most, if not all, of the paranormal, or rather of the poltergeist videos put on the internet are not real. He's quoted as saying, someone will set up a camera and record things flying through the air, dishes breaking, cabinet doors opening and closing, things like that, and they'll put it on the internet and call it poltergeist activity. Viper Paranormal uploaded their own video to YouTube back in 2011 that shows viewers how to fake a poltergeist video. According to Mike, the purpose of the video was to raise awareness of fraud in the paranormal, not to debunk the existence of the poltergeist. paranormal activity that some parapsychologists say can be explained by psychokinesis, the ability to move physical objects by mental force alone. And that's the name of that tune on that, that article there. So interesting stuff, especially if you've seen that that video online. It's quite popular now, that that video.
It
that little
does girl. Look to me, especially the doll, like there are strings, because when the head turns, it's like something's pulling the ponytail up and making the head turn. I don't know. Poltergeist activity, goofiness, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Or could it just be a ghost grabbing the ponytail and pulling it? I don't know.
Might be.
Weird stuff. What have you got for us next?
Another hidden camera story. A family has set up a hidden camera in the home and captures something truly terrifying. A dad sets up a hidden camera to check on his family's dogs, but instead discovers something quite terrifying.
Oh, no.
A ghostly shape of a Civil War maid floating in their living room appears to loom above him in the pictures while their terrified pooch stares right at it. 25-year-old Tim Welty had visited his parents' home to fix their computer, and he installed a camera while he was at it, but he was horrified to discover it had captured a large lady appearing to hover over the sofa and the Cocker Spaniel looking up at her. After sharing the image, some Catholic friends of the family were so freaked out by what they saw that they gave them holy water and urged them to sprinkle it around.
It's just a Civil War maid. It's not like a demonic presence.
It's not Satan. It's a Civil War maid. She probably came to, you know.
The power of dusting compels you. The power of dusting compels you.
She probably just came to put down some pledge.
Could be.
The family home is thought to be the base of the location of a bloody American Civil War battle. Dad of two, Tim from Manassas, Virginia, was home alone at the time when the picture was taken. He said, it definitely looks like the shape of a woman. Our house is on the area where all the Civil War farms were. In fact, our house is right on top of the location of the first Battle of the Bull Run. That's where it would have been fought. For me, it looks like an old-time work or farm maid. If you zoom in, you can see highlights that show a chin, so she should be facing forwards. Her nose and chin can also be seen. Other pictures taken by the camera show a light on in the middle of the night when no one was awake to turn it on, but it was off the next morning. Tim, who builds websites, said, it's an automatic camera that my mom got to watch the dogs to see if it catches them doing any fun stuff, but also to keep an eye on them when they go out. It's supposed to record everything, but it's not been working correctly, so instead, it takes pictures at regular 10-minute intervals. People have asked, did we hang a coat up? No, it was, or I was in the room, he says. You can see me sitting there, and there's no coat stand. Tim added that the house is on the same spot as the first Battle of the Bull Run, first major battle of the American Civil War on July 21st, 1861. As thousands clashed, 868 soldiers died, while another 1,200 went missing.
Alien abduction?
Yes, it was.
Chupacabra?
And of those 1,200 that went missing, 1,000 anal probed.
Wow.
So there you go.
Lucky bastards.
Yeah, I know, right? Just a perk of the war. This comes as the ghost of Queen Elizabeth was caught on camera in a similar story a couple weeks ago.
So interesting. All right. What else have you got for us?
Let me see here. We move on with the paranormal stories and the ghost stories, as paranormal investigators say they have captured a ghostly image in the Biddeford City Theater. EVP Paranormal of Maine believes it is the ghost of Eva Gray, who's said to have died in the theater more than 100 years ago. A team of paranormal investigators believes it has captured a photo of the ghost of Eva Gray climbing the back stairs of the Biddeford City Theater, where she's said to have collapsed at the end of a performance and died backstage more than 100 years ago. EVP Paranormal of Maine visited the theater on December 19th and spent 4 hours taking infrared video footage, which showed what it believes to look like, or what it believes looks like, a woman in a dress on the stairs. The group posted a video with the image on its Facebook page. Caroline Mizoyan, who of Seiko, 51 years old, who founded the group with Beverly Young of Buxton, said she thought the story about Gray, says she thought the story about Gray, that she died the day before Halloween in 1904 singing "Goodbye, Little Girl, Goodbye" with her three-year-old daughter in the audience, seemed contrived. I didn't really believe it, to be honest, she said. But when she saw the figure in the footage, Mazoyan said she almost fell out of her chair. Once you see the photo of it, how can you deny that there's not something, she said. Skeptics, however, say such images, which aren't uncommon, are the result of issues with photo equipment or configurations of light. Although Mazoyan believes the image is that of a woman, she will admit there's no way to say whether it is Gray, who is known as the resident ghost of the theater, where previous sightings have been reported. The womanly figure also wasn't the only ghostly image that the team of five captured during the visit. I caught a man in the balcony, too, she said, as well as what looked like a huge flame. Mazoyan said her team, which usually investigates homes, has never captured a full-body apparition in its 4 years of conducting paranormal investigations, but attributes that to only recently getting more sophisticated equipment. She said they plan to return to try to determine whether they what they saw was residual energy or an intelligent spirit. So there you be.
At least they're honest. They don't believe they've caught anything before. That's good.
Yeah. A disturbing story out of Quebec, Dave, as funeral directors are trying to curtail funeral selfies.
What?
Funeral selfies. Now, I don't get this trend.
Wait a minute. Read more of the story to me first.
Right.
Like, what is a funeral selfie? I mean, it sounds like it'd be understandable from the title, but is this what employees are doing or family members?
No, this is what family members are doing.
Yuck.
Taking photos at funerals is not new.
Nope.
Although I find it disturbing a little bit.
Yeah, I do too.
But posing for selfies at a casket and posting to social media is. Funeral directors in Quebec are discussing how to educate people that taking selfies over a corpse and posting it to social media may be considered disrespectful in some families. The president of the Corporation of Funeral Directors of Quebec, Denis DeRocher, said the act of taking photos at a funeral isn't new, but sharing those photos on social media is. There won't be a selfie police, he told Radio Canada's Gravel Lamartine, but said that among Quebec's funeral directors, there is a debate over how to educate people about what is respectful behavior at a funeral parlor. In many funeral parlors, we have very clear rules around limiting selfies, or we tell the public that the families don't want selfies, he said. I can't believe that's something you have to tell somebody. Despite their best efforts, people with mobile phones hide them until the last minute, then strike a pose next to the coffin, DeRocher said. Those photos then end up on social media. He added that taking photos at a funeral isn't inherently disrespectful and that some experts believe it can be beneficial to the grieving process. The fad of posting it on social media, however, can be detrimental to the family and the dignity of their late loved one, according to DeRocher. Now, I got to ask you this question, Dave. Where do you draw that line? Say you have an open casket at a visitation. Do you even take a picture of the body?
No. My grandfather passed away. My great aunt whipped out the camera and started taking pictures of him in the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do this at all the family funerals. No. And then she told my mom and aunt, she's like, oh, do you want me to send you pictures? They're like, no. Who the hell wants a picture? I guess I shouldn't be rude. Maybe it's part of closure for some people. I don't get it. I don't want it. I would not encourage anybody. I don't want anybody to take pictures of me when I'm dead.
I have had some relatives who have done that, who have taken pictures at open casket services. Although I'm extremely uncomfortable with it. To me, that's not the way I'd want to remember that person.
Right.
So,
but everybody goes through grieving a different way.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there used to be a huge business for postmortem photography.
Right.
You know, they would pose children with the families.
Right.
And take these photographs, or they would pose the bodies. It was big business. So I guess, maybe it's just we've become too prude-like in our thoughts when it comes to that, but I don't
but
get it.
There's a picture in this article, and it's probably the most disrespectful picture you could think of. Okay, think about going to Facebook, and here's I mean, literally, I'm describing this picture. There's this young man throwing up deuces in front of grandma and posted that to social media. Now, to me, that's like, you know, that makes
other people's kids, man. I don't know.
That makes the skin crawl.
Yeah.
You know, that's not I doubt grandma's standing next to the casket going, oh, that's cool.
Do you guys take pictures at funerals? Do you think it's cool? Do you think it's weird? Why do you do it if you do it? I'm just curious to find out. You can email me, dave@darknessradio.com, and share your thoughts. Well, that's it. I think that's a good place to end up on for the evening.
Okay.
Weird.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up. We'll come back. We've got a great week lined up for you here on the best in paranormal talk radio. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Beyond the Darkness.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.